Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. In today's episode, I wanted to discuss what my biggest fears were when I had postnatal depression. And I guess I really wanted to do this as a way to give you some closure, perhaps, or if you know someone who's going through this, just to help you understand maybe what they might be thinking or feeling, and perhaps give you a way to help them navigate their way through this. So my whole purpose behind all of this is to shine the light on postnatal depression. And the way that I can do that is by stripping it down and really being authentic as to what the experience was like for me, as a way to normalize it and to raise awareness and to allow it to come out into the forefront and not be riddled or hidden away with myths and misconceptions. And when we talk about things like our fears and things that hold people back, I feel like that's very empowering, because when we give a voice to something, it no longer has control over us. And I guess hearing someone's perspective who has lived experience through it, I hope that it is something that you can resonate with, something that you can align with. Perhaps maybe that might give you the strength to do the same. So this is really sort of why I'm doing this again. As with all of my episodes, I love how I am almost explaining why I'm doing it. But they're all such important topics. And I will put a link to a blog that I have written about this topic as well on the Holistic Healing platform. And I feel like a lot of these episodes, I have really written blogs about them. So definitely do jump on the holistichealingco.com website and have a look at all of the different blog articles that are there, because there's one which is about my biggest fears. And this is really what this episode is based on. So look, to kick things right off, I think it's really, really important first to acknowledge that we all have fears, even, you know, all people of all walks of life. It's normal. It's what makes us human. It really is our default protection, or perhaps self-preservation means that we actually have to look after ourselves. Now, you know, it would be very normal and natural if you saw a snake to be scared. I recently had a snake sighting, and I can 100% assure you, I was scared. I still walk around banging my umbrella around, you know, in case I see him again or her. Yeah, so that fear is very visceral, and it's very normal, because that's a way that our body has been designed as a fight or flight mechanism. You know, that's our sympathetic nervous system doing what it is designed to do. So it is normal. But for me, a lot of the fears that I had in this arena or in this area of postnatal depression, it actually did hold me back from seeking the help that I needed maybe sooner than perhaps I did. And, you know, if I think about that, it kind of held me back from living my best life, because I was stuck. I was stuck in that fear, and I allowed myself to be trapped in it for so much longer than I needed to be. So definitely that's an important reason to acknowledge what those fear aspects are, so that we can actually move forward. So the first fear was definitely not knowing what was going on with me, really, the first time. The second time I knew instantly, because it kind of gradually set in on that day 5. It kind of, you know, I had little symptoms and then it escalated. But really, that first time, I had no clue what was happening. I was riddled with fear in knowing whether what I was feeling was normal or not. did everyone feel this way? Was it because I was tired? Is it just my hormonal changes? I had no idea. And I was so scared to actually verbalize and say what it was that I was feeling that I didn't share. I didn't share how I was feeling initially because I was so petrified that I was the only one. Heaven forbid anyone else feels this way. So I kept it to myself. And that was a very, very important one. So I spoke of this earlier in an earlier episode that 1 in 7 women have postnatal depression in the current standpoint of statistics. But for me, I didn't know any other 1 in 7 women. Where were those other women? I felt so alone in my experience, but we're slowly changing. I feel like there's a lot more sharing of experiences, and that's really what I hope to do as well. But I think knowing that you're not alone really does de-escalate this particular fear, because 1 in 7 is not a small number. It really isn't. 1 in 5 women have PNDA. That's not a small number. If you think about an average family, that's quite a few people. So I really want you to revel in the fact that you're not alone, because I think that's a really, really important fact to know. So that was definitely the first biggest fear that I had, and especially the first time. Now, another fear was that I would be stuck feeling this way forever. Can you imagine? Can you imagine feeling like absolute rubbish, not being able to think, feel, do anything? Getting dressed was a huge debacle. I mean, not being able to converse with anyone. Me, I mean, you can imagine now I can't stop talking. Imagine not being able to talk. I mean, and feeling like, oh my God, I'm going to be stuck like this forever. You know, it's like the wind will freeze your face. I felt like that. I felt like, oh gosh, am I actually going to be stuck like this forever? And that was a very visceral, real, all-encompassing feeling that I did feel as well. And that not knowing if I was going to get better really did fill me with fear and trepidation. And not knowing if there's a brighter day ahead or that there is a future ahead, it's actually really quite horrifying, really, when you think of it in that way. But I guess with most things, if you really think, for instance, with the pandemic, you know, the fear that took hold of most of us was the fear of not knowing the outcome. You know, how long the pandemic would last? How long are we going to be stuck and locked away in our homes? It is the fear of the unknown. That's what really is anxiety provoking. And so I really do acknowledge that I feel this is the base why it really is anxiety provoking, because it is the fear of the unknown. And definitely that is a, whilst I'll say normal and natural reaction, because it is, we don't have a crystal ball that will tell us when we're going to get better. And if we do X, Y, and Z, that you'll get better. There's nothing like that. So not knowing, it can be tough. It can really, really be tricky. Another fear was I felt like if I did speak up, if I did answer correctly on the EPDS, if I did answer questions correctly when anyone asked me how I was feeling, that I would get taken away. I would be locked up in a mental health facility or locked up in a mother-baby unit. Now, I didn't know what that entailed. I obviously had my own preconceived notions of the horror and how terrible that situation would be, but I didn't know. I didn't know. It wasn't coming from a space of information and knowledge. And, you know, who knows? It might have helped. I might have got better even faster. And so for this reason, you know, I wrote about this in my book as well, that I want to interview and film what happens in a mother-baby unit so that other mothers can know if that isn't an option that's given to you, or if you're afraid that that is the worst case scenario, that perhaps it's not the worst case scenario. I think that the opposite of fear and the opposite of the unknown is information. So, you know, I really want to unveil and uncover all of the fears that are there. And for me personally, that was a very, very big fear for me. I was beyond petrified. And maybe that's a cultural perspective. Perhaps we are riddled with fear of authority. We don't know what that looks like. I mean, I was born and raised in Australia, but perhaps in my lineage, in my genes, in my blood, we are perhaps fearful of authority. I don't know. Look, I don't know the answer as to the why, but all I know is that I was petrified. That fear of if I speak up, what does that mean? What are the consequences? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my children? Those were very, very real and pressing questions that ran through my head all the time. And that is a very scary space to be and not knowing. So in that instance, I can really appreciate this fear. And if I was to think of a mother in the same situation now, I would completely acknowledge and I would appreciate that fear there. I would. And the way out of that, I guess, is to shine the light on what options are available and what do they look like? What services are available? What benefit can it bring? What resources are available? Now, another fear was I honestly felt that nothing would work in fixing the way that I was feeling. I honestly didn't believe that anything would make me feel better. And that was especially the first time. But even after recovering the first time, the second time too, I was so skeptical. I didn't know if I would get better. It was worse the second time. I didn't know when I would get better. I didn't know how long it would take. And people would tell me, my doctors would tell me, but when you're in the thick of it, I know that I was so incredibly skeptical, and my belief and faith at times, a lot of the time, were replaced with skepticism and doubt. And again, I would acknowledge that that is a natural and normal feeling. I certainly felt that. And I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying that I can acknowledge and appreciate that that can be how you're feeling. Now, I also was so incredibly grateful that medication helped to actually restore my biochemistry. And after 6 months of feeling amazing, once it had worked, then I was able to wean off it. But before I was weaning, I was actually really, really frightened that if I did, or when I did rather, that the symptoms would come back. And so that fear was there. It was niggling. It was at the back of my mind. That was definitely a fear of, gosh, is it going to come back? Now, thankfully, that didn't happen for me. My body seems to react in such a way that it's a switch. So when, that switch obviously gets triggered from changing from pregnancy to breastfeeding hormones, it's happened twice in the exact same way that I can kind of make this analysis. But that obviously sets me off. The switch has flicked, and then somehow with medication, the biochemistry restores. That switch flicks back in the right way, and then that's it. There's no sort of ebbs and flows. It's almost like, right, the switch goes on, the switch goes off, and it's very clear and direct in its effect within me. But that was a very real fear that I felt. I was fearful. So if you're feeling that way, again, you're not alone. Sorry to interrupt your Thrive podcast. I just wanted to hop on quickly and let you know that if you haven't already purchased my guided meditation album that has been specially created for mothers, then I want to let you in on a little secret. When you visit my platform, holistichealingco.com, and under the shop, then products page, when you select the guided meditation album and click purchase, it takes you to the Bandcamp platform, which hosts the album. Once you're there is a single track titled Gratitude that you can listen to for free. This will enable you to experience the benefits of the 329.9 Hz frequency music with the beautiful gratitude affirmations within the track. If you love it, and I hope you will, then you can get and download the entire album. Meditation is a wonderful mindfulness strategy that can help direct a wandering mind and bring grounding, peace, and calm within the body, mind, and soul. Jump on and have a try. Now, back to the episode. Now, another thing that I was really frightened of what people would think about me, that they would label me in a certain way, that they would think that I was flawed or broken or weak, or that they'd look at me in a certain way or they'd judge me. And I guess especially because millions of women have babies every year, I was just really scared that people would think that I was, you know, very high maintenance, or that I was a snob, or that I'm lazy or self-indulgent, or, you know, I'm just finding it all too difficult and can't handle stress and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, now I've changed a lot. I very much was a people pleasing, would put my own needs second to everyone. I definitely was that, perfectionist. I used to wear a mask of being polite and proper and nice and not really know what I stood for or what I believed in, really. I didn't actually even know who I was, to be 100% honest with you. It's only through time and through really coming through this whole experience that I kind of have learned really who I am. But anyway, long story short, I also feel like Chandi's very, very good when I ever say that word, oh, look, people may not like it, or it might not look good to people. He'll pull me up on it and he'll say, well, tell me specific people who you're talking about. And 99.9% of the time, I can't think of specific people to put at the end of that statement. So it actually isn't a relevant factor to consider. If I can't put, as he says, if you can't put specific names to this, you know, quote unquote people, then who exactly are you concerned about? Like, what is it that's holding you back? So, you know, that's really been something that has helped me. And yes, this people-pleasing tendency again, I don't know if it's cultural, I don't know if it's something that has been learned, if it's whatever it is, if it was a strategy that worked for me and just not getting in the way and not causing any fuss, whatever it is, I really have broken through that to quite an extent. And yes, but I would say if you're feeling that aspect, yeah, you're not alone. You're not alone. That was definitely a big, big issue for me. And the truth of the matter is, if someone judged me, if someone said it to my face, if I ever saw that they did say something, then, you know, as I said in an earlier episode, then I would think that it's their loss and it's their narrow thinking. And I would highly recommend and encourage them to broaden their perspective. And that's even if I would waste my time trying to explain that to them, I'd probably just give them a big F you and walk the other way. Like, I actually wouldn't care anyway. But I acknowledge that that's something that definitely can be something that you're feeling, and certainly I felt that way. But really, when you count all the people that held or hold your hand when you're lying on the floor, feeling like you can't go on, and, you know, who's looking after the children and who's looking after you and who's paying the bills and who's cooking food and who is carrying you through to the other side, those are the people that really matter. And that's it. Those people shouldn't be a blip on the radar of being anything in your mind's eye if they're not there physically helping you through this experience. And if they're not, then they don't deserve any moment of your time. And for those people that even are helping you, if they are judging you and if they are causing any pain and discomfort by what they're saying or feeling, then my message for them would be, please stop, because it's not helpful. What this mother and beautiful woman needs is compassion and kindness and encouragement to keep going. And any judgment and negativity and shame or guilt or making anyone feel worse than they are, it isn't helpful. It's not helpful. And that's not just for this condition. This is for life in general. I think we need honesty, of course, and, you know, using your voice to speak your truth. Yes, absolutely. But also, I believe we need to put the crowns back up of others and not just kick them when they're down. When you kick someone when they're down, I mean, what is that? That's horrible. So you want to give them the space and allow them to stand up. You do. You have to. Anyway, sorry, this isn't me lecturing anybody. I should That's not the purpose of this. But yes, I do get carried away. I do get carried away. So in these instances, what I can really gather is that it's the unknown. It's the unknown. This is the huge reason for where my fears had come from. So I didn't know what the outcome would be, and therefore that led to fear. So I had to surrender. I had to, surrender in this not knowing. And truly, for a controlling type A personality like me, who thrives on structure, I thrive on being organized and needing to know what I need to know. Yesterday, I'm not good with vague instructions. I need clear cut instructions. So for me, not knowing what the outcome would be, not knowing what would work, it was incredibly hard. And so definitely that is an important aspect to consider. But that surrender, the surrendering into the isness of it all, that's really, I think, isn't that the secret to life? I mean, all that it is, the ebbs and the flows, the ups and the downs, if, you know, apart from if you're a psychic, I mean, I wish I was one myself, but none of us really know what the future holds. So placing that trust into something higher than ourselves, I feel, is what enables us to keep on going, and just accepting the crapness of it. Even the crapness of it, if we just accept, right, this is where we are now, this is what it is right now, you know, you can feel frustration and anger. Yes, you know, you should never bury your feelings deep within. But if we do surrender to the isness of it, then we're able to look at it eye to eye, and we're able to really just see it from that perspective. Now, also, if I was to think in the present day of fears, because as I said, we're human and it is our default. If I think in the present day, I definitely don't want any more children. And Chandi has been sent to the snip snip doctor. That is because I, you know, where I am, and certainly he is, we're so frightened that if we had another baby, that it could be much, much, much worse. And I don't want to put any of us through that again. So, you know, that is something that I'm fearful about. And so, yeah, I'm just not even going to entertain that thought. So, you know, that fear is still something that's there, right? And also with writing my book, there was so much fear before I actually sat down and wrote my books, because I had so many fears running through my mind, like who would want to read it? Or, you know, I'm going to have to put all of my darkest hours in print for the world to see. There's going to be no hiding. You know, will anyone even read it in the first place? Like, how embarrassing if no one reads it? What's the point of delving into all of these truths and not reaching the hands or ears or eyes of people who need to? But really, I just had to say, stuff it. I have to do this. And if my story helps even one person's family, if it saves even one life, then I have to do it. I have to just move through this fear, because I have to, and I have to trust and surrender. And that's it. The rest is out of my control. Even in the space of honesty and the space of being transparent, I mean, I won't lie as well, that I'm very mindful when menopause hits that there's going to be hormonal changes again. And what exactly is going to happen? And I often think, what does that hormonal change value look like? So from premenopause to perimenopause, to menopause, what will my body react like? And what's that change in value of hormones? Is it the same from pre-puberty to puberty? Is that level or gradient change the same? Is it the same as pregnancy to breastfeeding? Because that set me off. And I was told that that is a 100 times level change in hormones that happen from pregnancy to breastfeeding. And so my body obviously reacts in a very distinct, obvious way. And so I definitely need to do more research about this. I would love to know the difference between all of these stages in our life and what would be the biggest change. And, you know, coming into, I guess, as we get older and move into menopause, you know, that is something that does play on my mind and what or how my body will react. But again, these current situations, they stem from the unknown, and letting go of that control aspect that I think is key here, and perhaps the same for you, is to just surrender and not be fixated on perhaps the outcome, because we don't know what that will be. We'll never know. Again, unless we're psychic, we're never going to know. I feel like fear has its place in circumstances, you know, to keep us safe from that snake and annoying all my neighbors with my banging of this umbrella up and down the stairs in case I see it again, but it has its place. But in this area, if it's holding us back ever from living our best selves and lives, then, you know, we need to meet it eye to eye. And I believe and trust that you can. I know that you can. So those were my sharing of my fears, and I really hope that that is something that you have found helpful. But for this week's Pearl to Practice, I actually really want you to sit in a quiet and relaxed space and to ask yourself truly what fears are holding you back from living your best life. Now, it could be in any area of your life. So it could be in your relationship, in your parenting, in your career, a business creation, taking up a new interest, fashion choices, whatever it is, give yourself the space to ask yourself what you are afraid of. And again, without judgment and only observation, as I always say, then just write what comes up for you. So spend some time journaling or meditating or writing whatever dot points come up. And then write some ideas on where you think it stems from. Where do these fears stem from? How is it serving you? Are there areas in your life where it is serving you? And then what can you do to break through this fear if there was nothing holding you back? If you could remove any obstacles that your mind can think of, if nothing held you back, what would you do? And then just sit and ponder on what comes up for you. And I always find that asking a specific question and then allowing that space, it really does encourage expansive and open answers. So, you know, I love doing this. I really, really do. So please give it a try and see what comes up. Now, just as a final note, I really want to say that you are so brave, and whatever you feel is holding you back, whatever fears are consuming you, please know that, well, one, you're not alone. We all have fears, and that's okay. But two, you can overcome any and all fears. You can. And there's something so empowering about realizing your own worth and setting yourself free. And you're really, really so deserving of it. And it's really going to liberate you. And, you know, I believe that you are bigger than any fears that you can think of. And you will be so incredibly grateful when you just walk through them, when you smash through them and walk to the other side. You're going to be so proud of yourself. So, you know, I really want you to consider that. So that's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you so incredibly much for joining me. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode as much as I have. And I really look forward to next time. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing, share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week.